the Homeworkies podcast. We are really excited today to have another one of our Hall Star interviews today. I'm really excited to get to talk to actor Steve Bassick today. And Steve, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. So what we like to do with our guests is we like to give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to get into acting.
Okay. Well, I'm Steve Bassick. I've been an actor professionally for about 30 years. That's hard to say, but it's been about 30 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't come to it traditionally. I didn't go to school for it. In fact, I went to school. I have a kinesiology major and a math minor. I was raised in Windsor, Ontario, which is right across the river from Detroit. So I have a big Michigan influence. But yeah, I never really thought about acting. I mean, I dabbled in some modeling and some local stuff, but I always saw actors as a little bit weird. And we did have a theater community in Windsor, and we did have theater program at university, but it just wasn't that kind of feel for me yet. And then I was on a road trip with some friends across Canada. We stopped in Vancouver, and I saw they had some productions going on. I think Booker was shooting at the time, probably Jump Street, Wise Guy. I just saw some stuff, you know, as I was being a tourist. And I just got this sort of feeling inside of me. I was like, I wonder what this is all about.
Yeah.
And so I you know, we traveled for a few more weeks. I went back to Windsor, and I decided to, you know, make my way to L.A. But I stopped in Vancouver. And that's pretty much where I stayed.
Yeah.
It was a road trip, pretty much a road trip that determined it.
That's
cool. Yeah. And then I have actually just I've tried to quit multiple times.
Oh yeah,
but I can't. Just one of those things.
What drives you back?
I think it chose me. I think it chose me, actually.
Yeah. What is it that kind of draws you back that you find satisfying about it?
As far as work goes,
yeah.
It's some of them. You know, you get a chance to. I think you just get a chance to be a little bit more creative. Especially if you approach it now the way I'm approaching it, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in a town where, you know, it was auto industries back then. It was back the big three, Ford, GM, Chrysler. Most of my friends were either engineers, pharmacists, or they worked in the auto plants. So that wasn't something that I could deal with. And I knew that actually, I knew that before I knew I wanted to be an actor.
Yeah,
I was a bit of more. I actually went from school to I wanted to be an entrepreneur, started a little business, bought a couple of properties, and yeah, I just knew I wasn't a traditional 9-to-5 kind of guy.
Yeah,
and as much as it is a very terrifying business, because you literally could be a star one day and be unemployed for the next 6 years.
Right.
That part of it actually is quite thrilling to me. So. And that's what I'm saying. It's not for everyone. Although everyone these days wants to be a celebrity, not very many people understand the amount of work, dedication, and perseverance that it requires. I don't think a lot of people respect it enough. You know?
Yeah,
I certainly didn't. Have a full understanding of it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that like part of being a grown up is deciding what repetitive tasks are you comfortable doing for the rest of your life. Like, I mean, it just. No, like every job, even ones that sound like very glamorous, is like whittled down to a bunch of repetitive tasks that you do over and over and over again. And you have to find the thing.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And acting is no different.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, people think that it's, some kind of glamorous life. I mean, I've been unfortunate enough to be at the ire of some crazy, obsessed people who, you know, want to identify you as a certain type of character because you're an actor.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what you do. Your character is not determined by your profession. And so they think that, you know, they think you're full of yourself. They think you're this, you're that. No, it's got nothing to do. Like for most of us, it's a matter of expression. And also if you approach it properly, there's craftsmanship in this thing. There's a dedication that's required and perseverance that most people are numb to. They don't want to do it. They don't want to work for free. You know, literally when we go for meetings, I'm putting in hours away from my children, or a beautiful day, sunny day here in Vancouver, or rainy day, I should say, but it's sunny today, in order to potentially go for a job that probably isn't even there.
Right.
So
yeah,
you got to fall in love with the process. You got to fall in love with, you know, just doing it to do it, not necessarily get the job, not necessarily. It's not for me personally. I don't care for recognition. I don't care for it at all. I don't like being approached, you know, in public. I like people. I was always you know, even back in my hometown, I knew a lot of people. I spoke to a lot of people. So I was a very friendly person.
Right.
But not when I'm required to be a friendly person.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It totally does.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, if you're lucky, you find something that you were going to work with nice people. And you get it to
ideally
improving. And I think, you know, that will make, because we spend so much time at work in our lives, and you just hope that you can find something that.
Well, and that's, yeah, absolutely. And there's the irony as well. I mean, I've been at it long enough to watch people come and go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the things I took away from being, you know, born in the area I was born, is like I was used to recessions. Like, you know, Windsor and Detroit were pretty much in sync. So every 5 to 7 years, you'd get a recession because, you know, they'd have to retool the, you know, the world economy, blah, you know. So I was kind of built to be a grinder, you know. And what most people don't understand is to be appreciative when you've got it, and also humble. And, you know, there's people that are kind of new to the business, or maybe they've been around for a while and they forget that, you know, you're lucky if you get to work. I mean, yes, you should work on your craft, but you're also fortunate because there's probably another 20 to 100 people that could do exactly like you, but for whatever reason you were chosen, be grateful. And, you know, when you are grateful on a set, then everyone's grateful and everyone's kind of, then you are having a really good time and you're getting paid for it. And those are the magical times, you know, and I've been fortunate and that I've worked on sets that were mostly like that. I'd say 90%, 95% of the time, but it all takes that one ungrateful person.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
There's this actor joke. This actor's been going out training for 10 years, hasn't gotten a gig. Like hard work is, you know, he's getting complaints from his family to quit. Finally, he gets this job. He calls his wife up and says, "Honey, I finally got this gig, my first gig." And she goes, "Oh, it's amazing." He goes, "And what the best part is, I got tomorrow off."
Nice.
As soon as you finally get on the set, an actor wants to leave. It's hilarious.
Right.
You know.
That's funny. So, yeah. So
very paradoxical. We're a weird bunch.
Yeah. Do you remember when you got your first gig? Were you like super excited or because you kind of were?
Oh, yeah. 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 It came. It was really weird. I did background work. Not much of it, though. I realized I really didn't like that. But I met a couple of actors early on in their career. There was Stephen Dorff, who I met when I was working at a restaurant. Ethan Hawke was another person I'd met. And they actually individually, different isolated occasions, had asked me if I wanted to come. And we hit it off. They were like the kids. They were still in high school. But I was funny. And they said, "Hey, you know, just come be on the set." All they could do was give me extra gig, right? But I realized I didn't really want to do that at all. And, but I was auditioning. I think it was my third audition in. I went in for maybe like a six liner on 21 Jump Street. It was her last season. And the cast, it was a pre-read. So the casting director, she didn't know me. So she wanted to pre-read me. And, she said, well, you know, actually you're actually 20. What was I think I was 25 or 26 because you're a little too old for, to play a high school kid. And, but I had the wit to say, well, the star, Michael, it was Michael Bandetti at the time. I said, I think I look younger than he does.
Right.
And so she kind of looks him up. She goes, yeah, actually, you're right. So she goes, okay, go ahead, read for me. So I read for her. She goes, okay, come back in a couple hours. So I go in, do my thing, and there's a director and producer there, and they like me. They go, hey, how do you feel about reading this part? So they give me a couple more pages. They like me again. They said, can you come back and do these two pages? So I go another scene. They did this three or four times. And this is just before Christmas. And they basically, the major said, they're in love with you, but we don't have a formal offer yet. So I went from about three to six liner to the guest star. It was one of the biggest parts they'd given any Canadian actor at the time on Jump Street. So I went from no lines ever to about 40 pages of dialogue.
Yeah, going too old to 40 pages of dialogue in an audition. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's cool. So your
first that was the start of it. That was the start of it. So
that's great. Yeah. So your first work, I think, for Hallmark was When Calls the Heart. Is that right?
No, I had done way back when. I believe my first major role on a Hallmark movie was The Colt. This is back when it was when Hallmark wasn't doing so much stuff. It was a great, one of the best scripts I've ever read. I can't say that the production did it justice. It was a good movie.
It was a script.
The Colt. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I believe it was a Pulitzer Prize winning short story by a Russian novelist that was expanded into a film for Hallmark. And I remember I was between seasons on, I was working on Stargate, and I was just between seasons on Andromeda. I was a regular on Andromeda. And so I'm given the script and I'm like, wow. I mean, it made me cry. It was heartbreaking. It was beautiful. And again, unfortunately, it did not translate as well from the page to the screen. But that was, I think I'd done Hallmark before that, but that was one of the more, I was one of the leads in that one. It was one of the more significant projects that I worked on for Hallmark.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. That sounds interesting. But you're
way back when. We're talking like 15 years ago.
Yeah. So your character, though, on When Calls the Heart was quite a villain about the framing that fire.
Yeah, you know, depends how you look at it. Yeah, he was a bad guy.
I mean, didn't you at one point hold Elizabeth up and Jack had to come in and storm and save the day or something along those lines?
Oh, yeah. I was, since it's already been on TV, I was going to shoot her.
Yeah, it was pretty.
And it's one of those, you know, I've had, you know, I think I've worked probably on about 160 different productions and, you know, auditioned for a lot more than that, maybe thousands. So I usually don't remember very much. I have a great short-term memory, but once it's gone, I got to get the next project in.
Right.
I usually don't remember my character names, but Spurlock. I remember. It's such an evil name.
Yeah.
And it was, but that's where I met Lori Loughlin, and I met some of the Hallmark people. Like, I was reintroduced to a lot of people, and but it was fun. It was actually gritty. Actually, the first season was very gritty.
Yeah,
I worked with Michael Landon Jr. was the he was director, and it was his show for the first season, and he had a different vision. I enjoyed it. I really did.
The Hardys weren't too upset with you for
okay, you know, it usually is
for they weren't the Hardys weren't too upset with you for holding Elizabeth up being a scoundrel.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not even going to comment on real life, but hey, I gotta tell them, but I got stories.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Can I tell you a little story? I'm going to tell you one of the stories, okay?
Please.
For the Hardys.
Yeah.
So my character, Spurlock, okay?
Yeah.
We were shooting four episodes all at the same time. They were block shooting. And from day one, they all knew that my character was going to get taken out by the Mountie. And they're like, oh, by the way, you know, you just got to fall on the ground. No big deal for a big guy like you, right? And right. I said, no, I'm not a stunt guy. I've learned because I've done a lot of action before, gotten hurt, not got paid. So I said, no, it's fine. Fall on the ground. We should probably get a stunt guy in. I know a guy. They're like, oh, come on. And so word went around camp. I got teased mercilessly by Elizabeth, by Lori, by every director, you name it. I was even going through a McDonald's drive-thru and I got teased by someone because they heard about it. They said, you can't even fall on the ground. You can't fall on the ground. So finally, we get to the day when this horse and this Mountie are going to come by and he's going to whack me with his rifle, right? Knock me over.
Uh-huh.
So, and I filmed it. I filmed it. I got my buddy Nick Barrick to come in to double me because he usually doubles me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I noticed, wait a minute, this isn't the same horse. This is a massive horse. I go, where'd they get this horse? It's a rodeo horse. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the rider. I go, that's not, who's playing the Mountie? That was, I'm blanking on his name now.
Daniel Lissing.
Daniel, of course, Daniel. That's not Daniel. So they got a double for the rider. They got a double for the horse. And he wanted me to stand on the ground and let this massive creature run by me full gallop while he whacks me with his rifle.
Yeah.
And so I'm just watching all this unfold. The first thing that happens is the horse doesn't stop the first test run. And the rider goes flying over the reins into the forest.
What?
That's the first take. And that's a practice take. And I'm going, oh my God, did I ever dodge this one? Then they finally get the horse sorted out. They get the rider sorted out. They put Nick in. First whack, the horse runs Nick over. So I had a few choice words to say to the people who had teased me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I'm not
going to
repeat them on air. It was a good laugh. I'll tell you, you could hear the pop of the horse's harness hitting Nick from about 30 yards away. And luckily, Nick's a stunt guy. Nick knows how to fall. He knows how to move with the animal, you know.
Right.
Me, I barely know how to tie my shoes now. So, you know.
So I think you won that argument, that's for sure.
Well, it didn't get me very far, though. I mean, it just made me look like – it made me look petty when I started calling them names.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I'll use that one whenever I get a chance.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So with Garage Sale Mysteries, one of the things I liked about it was that it was about a family. And because most Hallmark movies and shows are about – singles that meet and, you know, fall in love and whatever. But this was about a married couple and their kids and her, you know, having these mysteries and whatever. And I think that was something special about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so what was it like kind of building that chemistry and kind of creating that family dynamic and making that show work as well as it did?
Well, I mean, again, for myself, I am a family guy. And I'm also a very supportive person. So it worked out because, you know, Lori's character, Jen, was a bit feisty. She was a go-getter. She was curious. And I was very supportive. And so no matter what situation they were going to put in front of me, I always found a humor in that. And also we ended up getting rolling and having a great chemistry. Mm-hmm. Both with the children and with each other. And I think that showed on screen. I mean, it was, even though we're doing, you know, a murder mystery show, there was still, we show a lot of love and humor within the family dynamic, which I think was great to relieve some of the tension, you know, because, you know, when you deal with murder, it's not a very pretty topic. So I think we walked that line really, really well. And you know, it's interesting because I came more from the world of, I used to do a lot of sci-fi and action and you know, that's where my bread and butter was mostly before the Hallmark came along. And so it was really quite a nice change to not have to worry about getting muddy or thrown from, you know, beat up or, you know, any of that stuff. Just kind of be a relatable human being, you know, that it was enjoyable. And it was one of those sets where I loved going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a family to me, including the crew. Mm-hmm. You know, we do about four of these a year, and I used to hug everybody.
Yeah.
You know, now you can't anymore. You can't hug anybody, but it was mostly the guys I hugged. Yeah. Just so we know. Well, but it was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
We had Sarah on the podcast a while back, and she's just so fun, and it just seemed like everybody was really down to earth and really fun in that cast. So that doesn't.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we laughed. I mean, they had to stop us from laughing. That was a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes we got carried away. I'm not gonna throw any names around Kevin O'Grady, but
yeah.
You know, did you see us on Home and Gardens? I think it was Home and Gardens. We did it. Kevin and I did an interview with Cameron and Kevin Curry.
Yeah. I heard about it. Yeah. I'm behind on my, I didn't see it. So, but I heard about it.
That was about a year ago. Yeah. Oh, we're rascals. Let me just put it to you that way. But, mostly Kevin. So mostly Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? I mean, you said they kind of, all of your projects kind of meshed together, but was there one of those movies that stood out as being, you know, your favorite or that kind of meshed together?
Of the Garage Sale Mystery one?
Yeah.
Oh God. Really quite hard to say. I mean, we did one where Connor, I think it's Danthrope is how he pronounced his last name. He played my son. We had one where we decided to go camping. And for whatever reason, it just turned out pretty funny. And, it stands out for me because usually, you know, I'm in the house as much as I work, like my character works. I'm usually at the house in and out. It was one of those occasions where we got to go, especially out in the outdoors, set up camp and really, again, not know, being a man's man, I still didn't know how to do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And, they're always poking humor at my character. And, I had a really good time with that. I mean, there were some pretty romantic ones with Jen and I. There was one that I think it was our anniversary, and she thought I forgot, and I rent out this restaurant, bring in a band.
Yeah,
extremely romantic, and that was quite beautiful too. So
yeah,
I
thought it was fun when you guys were doing the I think it was like a Habitat for Humanity thing.
And
that was a fun one, and I also liked the Pandora's box with all the I don't know, that one I just thought you had all these like there were all these sort of layers of this like snobby Greek family and those things that I remember. That one was pretty fun, I for the record, I miss the Grasso Mysteries. They were my favorite. So
well, you know what? People should talk about that because I think it's, I love Lori, and I think Lori, and I'm going to say it, I don't care who pisses off. Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She's a great person. She's a very smart person. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I just do think people are susceptible to scams and being set up. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
You know, because I too I've been in a situation where I was advised in something in Canada, and turned out I didn't have the money to invest at the time, and the people who had invested got in trouble with our version of the IRS, and this family had been running this scam. And you know, I mean, there's so much horrible crimes being committed right now, wide in the open, and they're going after decent people for no reason. Mm-hmm. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah.
My humble opinion.
Yeah.
You know, fully support Lori and her family, you know.
Very good.
But anyway, I loved her. She's great. One of my favorite people to work with.
Cool. Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in, we really loved your movie that you got to be the lead in with All for Love. With
the Navy SEAL one.
Yeah, that one was really cute, I thought.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Was that fun to sort of get into the, like, I don't know, sort of the mindset of this drill instructor?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a combination of what I was used to in terms of, you know, the physicality of my characters, and mix that with a rom-com in Hallmark. So it was kind of a very interesting hybrid. Mm-hmm. And it was a great experience. I really, really enjoyed working with Sarah and the whole team that was associated with that, including the executives that brought it in. And I really would love to do more of those. And, you know, we shot that pretty fast, but, you know, we actually, I don't know if you know this, but behind the scenes, we ended up teaching everyone that dance. You're the one with the, where you shoot your arms side to side. It was really hot for a while.
Yeah.
Ended up getting, so when they wrapped me out, they put on a song that I'd been dancing to the whole time. The director did. And we were in this one spot for a book signing. It was a scene with the book signing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everyone starts doing it.
Oh, no. It was like a mob dance.
It was like a mosh pit. Mob dance, yes. Black dance, yes.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Because
so,
we've interviewed that director, Lee Friedlander, and she's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah,
we love her. Lee was hilarious.
And I just
we had a really great time.
It had a really classic romantic comedy dynamic to it, and I loved how you wrote her the letter at the end. Like, that to me is very romantic. You can write a letter.
Yeah.
And and I she's so great. I thought you had nice chemistry, and I loved the scene where you're teaching her how to swim. That was really really good.
That was a lot of time in the water. I tell you, it was a little cold. It got cold. It really did. I remember that day. We ended up, we're in a place, it was a gym. It was actually a functioning gym. Uh-huh. And I guess they didn't lock it all down. And so there was so much noise going on. That wasn't the most fun. But I thought it was humorous. I really just, you know, you just take what obstacles get thrown your, you know, you go, okay, I'll just roll with this. That's my personal opinion on it. But yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
I wish we had a little bit more time with that scene, though. We were a little stuck for time because of the location problems. I think we would have had even more. But we had a great connection, I thought, but it would have been even a little even deeper, I think.
Yeah. You were a villain in The Joyous Christmas. And as I was wondering, when you get to play a villain in these Hallmark movies, you're the wrong guy, or you're the murderer, or something like that.
Or
you're the bad businessman in Joyous Christmas. How is that fun to do? Kind of tap into that sort of villainous side?
Oh, for sure. But, you know, my approach to all of it, I mean, it's, sometimes it doesn't work for the Hallmark world.
Uh-huh.
The Hallmark does like to make a good guy really, really good and a villain kind of good. But, you know, whether I'm a good guy or a bad guy, I always like to see the yin and the yang. So I don't paint a villain as a one-dimensional character. You know, there's something else that motivates them. It's usually some form of their version of love or protection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job. What I like is that when it's not that straightforward, like, you know, not to play the villain but straight up, but to find that complexity and try to sneak that in with some subtleties, you know? So... Yeah. And I did that actually with, I think we're going to probably talk about Mystery 101. I did that with that character. I snuck in what I felt was a little more dimension to him. We can't talk about it too much because it's not aired yet. But I like them both. I mean, I think it's actually harder to play a good guy than it is to play a villain.
Yeah. Well, especially if you can kind of camp it up with the villain.
Seems
like to me would be the most fun. I mean,
and that's the thing. Trying not to, making it funny, making it energetic the way they like it, but also keeping it subtle and real. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's true. You either want to be the quirky side. You either want to be the kind of flashy sidekick or the villain, because like, if you think about, think about franchises, I mean, you've got your Harry Potters and your Luke Skywalkers, but the ones people really remember are your Han Solos and your,
Yes. Yes. They'll steal the scenes that they're in.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that stinks for the guys who are working their tails off. And all of a sudden you got one line and you go, oh man, that just took the scene away.
Right, exactly. Well, very good. Yes, so you got to be in Mr. 101. Was that fun working with Aloha and Jill and the whole gang?
Yeah, actually, what's really interesting about maybe an hour or so in, or maybe even a half hour after I saw Jill, I went, wait, I know Jill. Like, I was like, uh-huh. I knew I'd worked with her. And we did a series called Blade together.
Oh.
And it was about vampires.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was like, Jill, I think we did about 3 episodes together. Uh-huh. And I totally remember, like, I mean, we had a pretty interesting scene together. Not even close to being a Hallmark style scene.
Right.
She's great. She's so down to earth. And she's having a baby, which is really cool. Oh,
I'm so excited for her. She's so nice.
Yeah,
we love her.
Yeah.
I hope
to see them again because it's kind of open-ended right now.
Cool.
But yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm just blanking on his Christopher. They were both. We had a lot of fun.
That's great. I was excited to see your. I guess you're going to be on the new season of Virgin River. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
That's exciting. We all love that show. I know you can't say anything.
That's what I hear.
But that's exciting.
I cannot say a thing. I cannot say a thing.
Well, we will be excited to see what is coming. Good. That's for sure.
No, be excited. It's a great cast. Really nice crew. A lot of people I knew. And, you know, I'm looking forward. Hopefully they come back. I don't know yet. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Can't say.
Very good.
I do know, but I can't say.
Very good. Well, we like
Needless
to end
to say,
with.
I'm going to say my look has changed a lot for Virgin River.
Ooh.
I'm not as polished as I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. But we have some fun questions that we just like to end off with. Some fun silly questions. So, first one. Okay. What is the best ice cream flavor?
Best ice cream is chocolate peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. What's your favorite color?
Yep. Blue, dark blue.
Okay. What music are you into right now?
Always loved U2, always will.
Very good. What's your go-to date night food?
I've just become a vegan, so that's completely changed.
Uh-oh.
that's a tough one.
Okay.
That is a tough one.
Food.
I love... Well, yeah, I mean, I, it's, you know, honestly, now, that one, I have no idea,
okay.
But I'm into all sorts of different things right now, so.
What is your go-to date night activity out and about if you were going to go on a fun date?
Being in Vancouver, I'm actually becoming a big tourist again in my city, and I love it by the water. I mean, we go down, walk into the pier, overlooking the city. I'm in North Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful area. They've got old shipyard museums and other museums and just nice structures, architecture. It's fantastic.
Very cool.
Sit there, have a coffee, and watch you know, puppies go by.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Unfortunately, I'm allergic to cats, but I don't mind them. I love kittens and all that stuff, but kitties, all of them. But dogs, I'm not definitely allergic to.
Okay, very good. What beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Me too.
Fortunately, I have both here.
Yeah. Suit and tie or sweats?
I love them both, but I have to go with sweats, but I do love a suit and tie.
Yeah, very good. Okay. What is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Wow. Every day. How about that?
Oh, that's a good answer. That's very
cute. I'm not, I'm a everyday kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't like to wait.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Last question, and you can pick one of your own, no judgment. What is your favorite Hallmark movie?
That I've done?
Yeah, or not. Whatever. Any answer is fine.
My favorite Hallmark movie would probably be All for Love.
Yeah. It's so good. That I've done. We loved it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you passed the test. You can keep making Hallmark movies. Woo! But thank you so much for coming and talking with us. This was a lot of fun to get to know you and to hear about your experiences with all these movies. And we'll be excited to see you in Virgin River and then also in Mystery 101 coming up. And do you have social media or anything like that you'd like to share?
Unfortunately, because I got trolled, I don't promote a lot of social media right now. I do have Instagram, but it's like, you know, I'm not. Jill was telling me she was going to teach me all about it. I said, I'm not a big self-promoter. I am a very private guy. Mm-hmm. So, but I appreciate it. I appreciate you trying to throw that out there, but I got to say impeccable timing. I'm literally out of time and I'm at my appointment, my next appointment.
Perfect.
And we're done the interview.
Yeah. Perfect. Fantastic. Well, thanks
timing.
So much. And we'll look forward to seeing your roles. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. All right. All the best.
We'd like to thank C for coming on the podcast. This is so much fun to get to talk with him. Let us know what you think of all the different things that we talked about. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out so much. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. It helps us so, so much. We also have our patron group, which is great. And we just appreciate our patrons so much. It makes such a difference, even $2 a month. We also have our merch store, which has all kinds of hardies and Hallmarkies inspired designs and things that we've come up with. A lot of fun. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Make sure to check that out. So thanks again to Steve. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.